The Old Testament reading for the resurrection of our Lord is from Job chapter 19. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Oh, that with an iron pen and lead they were engraved in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we'll be all changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. All right. Take a deep breath. We made it. We made it to Easter Sunday, although the weather is not cooperating as much as I would like it to this morning. Easter Sunday is still a beautiful day. It is a bright, beautiful day, one that should bring a smile to your face. At least I hope it does. Because, of course, Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. Now, I happen to know that for a lot of us, anyway, it seems, I don't know if it's been the cold, dark winter months, or the brutal flu season that we all had to go through, or the fear and uncertainty of this economy, stress at work, stress at school, health concerns, family turmoil, divisions within families. Most likely it's a combination of all these things. But for many of us, it seems like it's been a rather dark few months, or maybe even years, or longer. And not to be a Debbie Downer, but you can add a lot of things to this list. There's cancer, there's inflation, there's unrepentant family members, there's broken relationships, there's the death of a loved one, there's anxiety, there's fear, there's physical trauma, there's emotional or spiritual trauma, depression, your own personal struggles with whatever personal sins you struggle with. And again, the list, no doubt, can go on and on and on. Oh well, I guess that's just life. You might be tempted to say, that's just life. And in a certain sense, yeah, that's true. It is just life, because in this world, because of sin and the resulting pain and suffering of living in a sinful, fallen world, this reality, this side of heaven, is one where we're not excluded from these things. None of us are excluded from these things. But on the other hand, it's not just life. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia. And Christ is risen from the dead in order to give you life, and that you may have life abundantly. What do you seek? Why do you seek the living among the dead? The angel says. He's not here. He's not amongst the dead. He's not in the tomb. He's not in the darkness. He's risen. The God-man, Jesus Christ, is not in the tomb. The light of the world has burst forth out of the tomb, and along the way he has scooped you up and brought you with him, that you now are in the light. He has saved you from sin, death, the devil, and the darkness of the abyss. So no, it's not just life for you, dear Christian, dear believer in Christ. There is far more to life than darkness, than our slavery to sin, than stumbling around in darkness. There's light, there is beauty, there is joy, there is life, and there is life abundant in Jesus Christ. So I'm not sure if you've realized it, but there is a certain flow to the church year. Of course, the church year follows the life of Jesus, and then on into the church year, or the season of the church. But it also follows and flows with our lives as well. And this is an ancient historical practice. So it even flows with, like, the earth's seasons. So our ancestors probably understood this maybe a little better than we do. Because today, we're so accustomed to looking at our weather app to see if it's going to rain, right? Rather than going outside and just looking at it. But they understood their dependence upon God for all things in their lives, whether it's the weather, the seasons, the fruits of the earth, completely and utterly at God's whim. Today, I suppose farmers in particular might still understand this dependence quite well, and they might be the only ones rejoicing that it is raining this morning on Easter morning, but they are. So let's take, for example, the season of Lent. It takes place during 6 dark, cold winter weeks, where the ground outside, it looks, and the trees look dead and barren. We begin the season of Lent in sackcloth and ashes for Ash Wednesday. And we're reminded on Ash Wednesday of our sin, the reason why Christ made his journey to the cross on Good Friday. We're reminded of our own need for repentance. We're reminded of the crucifixion of Jesus on Good Friday. And throughout all of these 6 weeks, those days gradually start getting a little bit longer, a little bit brighter, a little bit more sunlight each and every day, until we get finally, take a deep breath, to Easter Sunday. So we made it. We made it through all of that. And now we can take that deep breath because Easter is finally here. Christ died. He paid our redemption price. And now we rejoice, not only because he died for us, but he has risen from the dead, victorious over the grave, over our sins. And that means the Father is pleased with his Son's sacrifice. He has accepted Christ's sacrifice for all of our sins. The grave clothes, as we read in the gospel reading, they're stripped free from our Savior. They no longer hold him in the grave. He is set free from the grave. He now stands before us, vindicated, victorious, and alive. So in the bright beauty of Easter, we are reminded of the pure gospel, that Jesus Christ accomplished the mission for which his Father sent him, to forgive the sins of all men, all of your sins, even the darkest of sins, forgiven in Jesus. We're reminded of the faith, that is, the abundant life that we have, that he has given to us through word and sacrament. A life now that abandons the darkness that is within us, and it clings to the light of Christ and his righteousness, his victory, his life, his salvation for us, free of charge. In the risen Lord Jesus, we are reminded that he has made us new. We are a new creation in Christ. You see, Easter shows us that we are alive in Christ. We are not dead. We are alive. We have abundant life in Christ. In Christ, baptized into the risen and living Lord Jesus Christ, you now are set free from darkness and sin. You've been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of light. You're created and now recreated in Christ to be alive, to live, and to live joyfully as men and women that he created you to be, according to his word, finding life in his word, his abundant life in his word, not in our rejection, not in our sin, but according to his good and gracious will. We have life, and we have it abundantly. So outside this morning, it was supposed to be an Easter Sunday morning where the weather was going to cooperate and it was going to look like a beautiful Hallmark card, right? But hey, this isn't heaven. It's Iowa. Okay, a year and a half. I've been here a year and a half. That's the first time I've referenced that movie. First time. But that's just it. The weather outside, the circumstances in your life, whatever they might be, cannot dampen the joy that you have in Christ crucified and risen for you. Christ is risen indeed. He's risen and he is reigning over all things in heaven for you, that you may have life and have it abundantly. In the darkest of winter or in the brightest heat wave of summer, you have Jesus. Therefore, you have life, and you have it abundantly. Even throughout these dark 6 weeks of Lent, we all knew how the story was going to end. We all knew that we would be here this morning with Christ risen triumphantly. God worked all that evil, all that sin, all that darkness for good. Christ is risen just as he promised. And in Christ alone, now we have forgiveness of sins. We have life. We have salvation. And all of this now has gone out into the world. We knew that that's how it was going to end. And just as we knew the end of Christ's story, we know the end of our story as well. Culminating in Easter, in the triumph and glory, we know how our story is going to end. 1 Corinthians 15, our epistle reading. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. Just as Christ is risen, you too shall arise. So, dear Christian, there is far more coming for you. All those dark things that you might have on your list, and we all have them, all of those things vying for your attention, all of those things distracting you from focusing your attention on the life of Christ and the abundant life that he has given to you, all of those things need to be put into their proper place. It's not that they're not important, or that the Lord doesn't care, or that they don't matter. They do, and he does. The Lord knows each and every one of your needs far greater than you do. And he promises that he will care for you and all of your needs, for you are his dear child. But if you think about it, there's a very real sense in which you can look at that long list of dark things, and you can say, you know what? What's the worst that can happen? Even in the darkest of times, I have Jesus. He died and he rose for me to give me life and give me life abundantly. So, come what may, come darkness, come the brightest sunny day, whatever it might be, in Christ I have it all. I really do. Even now. So even if in your life that list of dark things might seem to outweigh the list of the bright things, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's always light, and there is always hope for the Christian. For Christ has done it all, and he has given it all to you. And ultimately, we have our own resurrection. We have our own bright resurrection. The new heavens and the new earth await us, where there will be gladness and joy and rejoicing forever. You see, because of Easter Sunday, there will always be brighter days ahead for you, dear Christian. Always. To think that the very Son of God became a man and laid down his life to take it back up again in order to give you life and to give you life abundantly. And in the midst of this darkened world, week after week, Sunday after Sunday, and yes, every day in between, we live in the big, bright, beautiful city of God. And here, in this place, like Mary Magdalene, we rejoice, for we have seen the Lord. For he is present, and he continues to stand among us, alive and well. To stand here among us as we gather around him and gather in his presence with a peace that surpasses understanding and a joy that surpasses understanding, with tears wiped from our eyes even now, surrounded by our fellow brothers and sisters, believers in Jesus Christ, who along with us sing the glory and praises of our risen Lord Jesus, with a joy so deep that there are few words that can describe it. And God willing, you are here gathered around Christ with a smile on your face. Happy Easter, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.